This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Wednesday, and I'm here with Joy Behar. This is Behind the Table. And a one, and a two, Jolene, Jolene,
Jolene,
Jolene.
I can't hit that note.
No, I can't either, obviously. All right, I am here with Joylene. Hello, Joy. How are you? Joy has been singing Jolene all afternoon.
Because I like the subject.
Yeah.
And that was Beyonce taking over the lyrics.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that would have been a good topic for today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Because I just think that, you know, the original thing with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's so like anti-feminist about worrying about some good-looking woman taking your man.
Mm-hmm.
If it's so easy to take your man, then take him.
Right. No, I think that's right. But
Beyonce says, if you take my man, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
And I say, go ahead, take my man. Take him.
It's also, now that we know years of knowing Dolly Parton, she's not exactly a pushover. I don't feel like Dolly would have just...
I'm the person on this show that made Dolly Parton admit she was a feminist.
Yes, you did. Tell that story.
I said to her, are you a feminist? And she said, I don't think so. And I said, well, do you believe that women should get the same amount of money as men? She said, yes. I said, well, then you're a feminist.
Absolutely.
And she said, well, then I guess I am.
She's actually quite progressive in a lot of ways.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's unbelievable.
She's the best. But I got to admit that, got her to admit that on she's a country star, which they don't like to admit that.
Well, the eternal question is, who was Jolene that she could threaten Dolly Parton in, especially that era of Dolly Parton?
All you needed was big in those days. Well, they must have been even bigger than Dolly's.
All right, well, one of the mysteries of life. And then, do you like the new Beyonce version?
Yeah, I do.
All right, well, speaking of your interest in pop music and pop culture, your grandson went to Drake.
He did.
You're the coolest Nana ever. You win coolest Nana award.
You know, I have a picture that I screenshot of an old lady like me,
mm-hmm,
giving a cigarette to her grandchild. And it says, in the 50s, this is how indulgent grandmothers were.
Right.
And I sent it to him.
Yeah, there you go. He's jealous, I think. No, of course, he would never send a cigarette to your grandson now.
No, but he went to, he loves rap music. His room has all pictures of rap stars.
Yeah. That's great.
And I mean, there was Lil' Kim and there was Lil' This and Lil' That.
Oh, there's no one cooler than Drake, though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a hard ticket to get. And
very
and
hard
he had
ticket.
A good time, right?
He had a great time. They got home at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
He and his father and his friend went.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because he's only 13.
That's like a core memory. He'll remember that forever.
Yeah, it's his first
concert. Yeah.
Concert. Yeah.
What was your first concert?
Oh, I was taken to many shows when I was a kid.
Do you remember what the first like pop music thing?
You mean in the 70s?
Yeah.
Tina Turner.
Oh, wow.
The Bee Gees.
That's great.
Rolling Stones. I saw everybody.
My first concert was Paula Abdul, which is not that cool, but...
Paula Abdul is not that cool.
But opposites attract. I could do the entire MC Scat Cat rap from memory from that song, but it's another
thing. I don't think it's nice to say Paula Abdul was not cool.
No, I mean, it's not
in
that cool
day,
now.
In her day, she was a good dancer.
I was in love with her. I'm still a big fan. I'm just saying that
It's cool to go to Tina Turner.
Yes, exactly.
That's
an epic.
Nobody was as talented as Tina Turner.
No, I think that's true. Although,
as a solo artist.
Although, in that realm, you recently went to Stevie Nicks.
Well, Stevie Nicks was part of Fleetwood Mac. Though.
Right, right. But also very
phenomenal,
cool.
Phenomenal, phenomenal.
Yeah, legends. I have to ask, because you brought up that cigarette note, did you ever smoke?
Yes.
How long do you smoke for?
But I, you know, there were years when I would hold it in my hand for hours.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked to
it was
have
an
a
affectation?
Cigarette. Yeah, sort of like if you wanted to meet a guy.
Right.
Do you have a light?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that anymore.
No, nor should you. Yeah, we didn't.
Yeah.
But you didn't know then what you know now about
well,
smoking.
Well, once this science came out, anybody who still smokes is crazy.
Crazy.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
No, for sure.
But I didn't. I was not the type of smoker who would go out in the rain to get a pack. Like one of my friends, who died of lung cancer, by the way,
mm-hmm,
she would smoke and she'd go out and buy the cigarettes in the middle of a storm. I would never do that. I didn't care.
Did you have trouble quitting?
No.
It was easy for you.
It wasn't that hard because I was not really that big a smoker.
Yeah. I never.
It hurt my throat. You can hear my voice as it is. Somebody told me I have short, fat vocal cords. It's an inherited trait from my father. And Italian-Americans have a very raspy voice. I think it's an imitation also.
But your voice is kind of one of your signatures. I feel like people know your voice.
I'm not crazy about it.
Really?
No.
Can you sing?
I can sing, but I mean, I'm limited range.
Oh, wow.
But like Claudia Cardinale, the great Italian actress, sounds like me.
Like if you'd voiced over a commercial, I would know.
I never got them.
That's interesting.
They never wanted my voice now.
Really? Huh. We had some questions from our studio audience today, and our audience, as Whoopi pointed out, are troopers because it's a monsoon outside.
It's very nice of them to wait. I know, in the rain.
They love you. But someone asked, what is the best and worst part of New York City? And you were born and raised here, so what would you say to that?
I was born and raised in Brooklyn.
Yeah, what do you think is the best part of New York and the worst part?
The best part of it is the diversity that, you know, New York City, especially Manhattan, I guess— although in the boroughs, you have different neighborhoods, different ethnicities. I mean, you can buy foods from any country in this state.
That's true.
And I really think that that we're an example of getting along with different colors, different creeds, different everything, different sizes, all different kinds of people here. And we get along. We're an experiment that's working.
What's the worst part of living in New York?
The subways.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
No. I take them. I took them more, but lately I'm not.
I take the subway. I've never had issues. I mean, it's gross sometimes. I'm not going to lie. It's not like the most clean place in the world, and you have the occasional person acting out.
I took the subway to school.
Yeah.
I went to Washington Irving High School, and I lived in Williamsburg, so I used to take the L train.
Yeah.
And it's right there. It was very convenient.
That's the thing. It's so convenient. It's cheaper. It gets you places quickly.
Yeah, it's the best system. It should be better.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you go to Europe and you see some of the stuff they have there.
Oh, wow.
That's really
nice. I took one of those bullet trains from Paris to Nice one time. I didn't want to get off the train.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Yesterday, Valerie Bertinelli was on the show.
I love her.
She's great.
So cute.
She's great. I had such a crush on her when she was on One Day
at a
Time.
Another crush.
Yeah, another. How often? How many crushes do I have?
Paula Abdul in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I have a thing here, I guess. Yeah. I need a cigarette. Yesterday, Valerie Bertinelli was on the show, and she was talking about her lifelong struggle with body issues.
Yeah.
I have two young daughters, so that's something that, you know, I'm aware of as far as
Is this
as
a
girls.
Letter or is this you?
This is me.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
me. Yeah, I would start with saying, Dear Joy, if it was a letter. No, I mean, I'm aware of that, and working on a women's show, I realize that, you know, body image is such a hard thing for women to deal with sometimes. You know, they're young, so they don't worry about this stuff yet, but I dread the day where they start judging their own bodies. Can you relate to what Valerie was saying?
I was a very skinny kid.
Mm-hmm. In your Bermuda shorts?
I did. I used to wear Bermudas. Mm-hmm. I wore short shorts. And I had a girlfriend who was chunkier than me, and she would wear short shorts, and her sister would say, you know, you can't wear them like Joy can wear them. But then when I was in high school, I got fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went from a size whatever to a 13. You know?
Were you
no,
worried about
I went to
it?
An yeah. all-girls school. Nobody, yeah. everybody, I was extremely popular in high school. I was the head of the governing council.
When were you bullied? Elementary school?
Elementary.
You've talked about the
elementary
bullying
and junior high school.
Oh, so you
in the neighborhood.
All right. So you enjoyed high school.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could have gone on to college at my high school.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was such a letdown when I went to college. I loved high school. It was an all-girls school.
Right.
And we had fun. We had so much fun.
I had the exact opposite experience. I was not a big fan of my high school experience, but I loved college.
Most people feel that way, I guess.
Yeah. But that's interesting.
I loved high school.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you know what? You know what? If I could do it over again, I would make sure that my daughter would only go to an all-girl high school because I think boys distract girls and girls distract boys. And
yeah.
I think it's better when they're not. Although boys act crazy when girls are not around. They need girls to sort of temper them a little bit.
I guess I've also heard the other thing that when girls are only around girls, then when they finally do get into a co-ed environment, they go a little crazy.
No, the mean girl thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boys don't act like that, do they?
No, I mean, they're just mean.
The boys are not as mean. Look at the story we did today about these basketball players.
Whether they're being mean to each other or it's just being projected on them that women can't get along and projected feuds.
Right,
and
two guys,
like
two basketball players, nobody cares if they fight. They
no,
do
they
it
expected
all the time.
To. Yeah, they're expected
That's
to
true.
Be rivals and get each other riled
But, you know,
up.
I was only bullied by other girls when I was a kid. And the boys, there was one boy who would instigate it. Come over and say, you know, she said about you, like to instigate it.
No, I already get the mean girl thing from my daughter in middle school. We hear about it, and, you know, they get left out of the Halloween costume, the group Halloween costume,
oh,
or
awful.
This, and who's sitting at the table, and who's gone, different text chains, who's on what?
Well, I was
one.
Often led, I was often not included in people's little sororities, and
right.
I would just make my own group.
Well, then we talk about this, you know, with the basketball and everything else, you could compare it to The View co-hosts and the way it's portrayed in the press, and it's women
we
against women.
We get along
women.
Fine right now.
No, I know, but—
We didn't always.
No, for sure, but even when you didn't always, I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that you were women. I think it just had to do with— But the press loves to jump on that stuff. I mean, do you think shows with all men, like, you know, the NFL Sunday shows?
Nobody cares.
Do they all get along? I don't think so, but nobody writes articles about it.
Well, because when men fight, they're not as creative about it, I guess.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Girls come up with stuff, you know.
I mean, people are desperate for you guys not to get along. That's what they want. They want
that
story.
Well, they're going to have to wait because it's not going to happen.
No, it's really nice right now.
Yeah, and I give you some credit for that.
Oh.
Oh, how he perked up. You
I
see
mean,
that?
I got credit.
Did you see that in there? Oh, my God. He perked up. Well, I think that one of the things that you do right
yes.
is that you don't antagonize us in a certain way. Or you don't, I don't know what the word, I can't even figure out what you're doing.
Well, I'm certainly not interested in pitting anybody against each other. It doesn't
no,
make
you,
my
that
life
that doesn't
easier.
Work for you.
No, it doesn't. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, one of my favorite things about these podcasts are when you tell stories about your encounters with Trump supporters, and I heard it happened again last weekend.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about this? What happened?
I was in a fancy restaurant in a beautiful town.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in. This guy is sitting at a table. He says, oh, it's Joy Behar. I said, hi.
Mm-hmm.
I waved. I could already feel the vibe.
You knew immediately.
Yeah. And as he's leaving, he says to me, Trump is going to win. You know, just to be provocative and annoying.
Sure.
And
yeah. To get mentioned on a podcast. Yeah.
What?
He wants to get mentioned on the show maybe. Or,
well, yeah, I don't yeah. even know who he was.
Right.
And I said, no, he's not. He's going down.
Right.
And then he said, if he wins, Whoopi will have to leave the country. Why did he pick on Whoopi? Why don't you say you're going to have to leave the country?
Oh, there's this.
Why pick on Whoopi?
It's been going on for 8 years that there's it's not real, but people are saying that you and Whoopi were going to leave the country.
Who
Trump
said?
Won
I never said that.
No, I know you didn't say that.
Why should I leave? You leave.
Nobody's leaving.
These Trump supporters, why don't you leave the country? What are you telling me to leave for?
Nobody's leaving. But that's a favorite trope to bring out.
His wife came over to me and sort of patted me like he's an idiot.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So hopefully she won't vote like her husband.
Men behave better when their wives are around.
Oh, he behaved poorly. She did it sort of on the sly.
Yeah, the quiet apology for the husband?
Yeah, sort of like that.
Yeah.
The people stop me all the time with, Trump's going to win, Trump's going to win. What does it do? It gives them like some kind of superiority over me by saying that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's what you're known for at the moment is being anti-Trump. So I think,
you think?
A little bit.
What I can't stand are these trolls who are anonymous. That makes me mad.
No, I agree. The anonymity of the internet is a bad thing. I agree. All right. Last weekend, President Clinton, Obama, and Biden gathered together for a big fundraiser for the Biden
The three campaign. Amigos.
That's right. Republicans can't seem to rally around Trump. You know, you can't get any ex-presidents to sit with Donald Trump. I don't think.
Not even George Bush.
No. I think the only person on a ticket that's alive that is a Trump supporter on the Republican side is Sarah Palin. I don't think there's anybody else. Do you think those signs of solidarity are good for the voters to see when the ex-presidents get together? You think that's impactful?
Yes. Yeah. Well, first of all, it shows you that there's intelligence in the three of them, the three presidents with brains. I mean, you know, Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. Obama was the head of the law review at Harvard. Who else was there?
Well, Biden.
And Biden. Biden's been in the Senate for so many years, and now he's president. He knows what he's doing. And then you have this psychopath on the other side who no one likes him. He has no friends. The only friends he has are these people who run around with their trucks with pictures of Biden being hogtied. Those are his friends, okay?
Mm-hmm. You seem worked up today.
I am worked up about it because I'm noticing that people are not understanding what's going to come.
Yeah. Well, it's early still.
It bothers me.
It's early still. The message will get through.
It's not that early. It's getting later and later.
It is.
I want Biden to come on the show in September.
And in April.
When we come back.
How about April and September? We'll do it.
Twice? He won't come on twice.
No, we should.
No, he's not going to come on twice.
He should. Remember, that's the mistake Hillary Clinton made.
Yeah, you know, I know. That's a mistake she made. And I told that to her people one time. The other person who would be good to have on is Obama.
Yes, I would love to have the President Obama.
Because he's starting to talk, too.
Yeah.
And I love Obama. I thought he was just magnificent as a president.
He hasn't been here since I've worked here, and I'd really love to have him back. All right, so... We have some listener questions for you.
All right.
All right. People enjoy these. First one is, who is the smartest person you know and why? You know a lot of smart people. This is a tough one.
I do.
Yeah.
But the first person that jumped into my mind was Alan Alda.
Okay.
Who's a very close friend of mine,
by
the way. Not an acquaintance. He's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known him since 1991 when I did Manhattan Murder Mystery with him. And... He's really brilliant in so many ways. He's scientifically brilliant. He has a very high emotional IQ.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. He's smart in every way.
Oh, that's great.
A well-rounded individual.
Mm-hmm. He's sensitive. Like Hawkeye was sensitive.
Well, he's sensitive, but he's also sharp.
Yeah.
Nobody laughs harder than him. He's a great guy. And my husband's just as smart.
Oh, that's great.
My husband is just as smart, but he doesn't have... the kind of like creative interest that Alan had, you know.
You know, I asked Sunny this question, and she said her husband, too. How about that?
My husband's very smart.
Very supportive of your husband.
Well, we don't want dumb husbands.
No.
I only had two husbands, and both of them were really smart. They both have advanced degrees, and they're both smart.
Because you need to be intellectually engaged with somebody if you're going to spend that much time with them.
I could never have anything in common with somebody who was dumb.
Yeah.
But I mean, not that I'm so brilliant. I mean, I'm not. But I don't like
a dumb guy. You're very smart. You're quick. You can't. That's not a.
Well, comedians are pretty intelligent.
Yeah, I my head immediately goes to comedians when I'm asked who the smart people are that I know because I'm always just in awe.
Well, George Carlin was brilliant, for example, as one of the more brilliant comedians and funny.
Yeah.
You know, Robin Williams, genius comedian. I used to have to follow him at Catch a Rising Star. Don't ask.
I can't imagine.
That's a tough one.
I can't imagine. All right, I got another question for you. If you could trade places with another celebrity for a day, who would it be?
A celebrity who goes around the world being admired and loved continuously. Catherine Deneuve.
Oh, okay. There we go.
She was the face of France.
Yes.
Look her up if you don't know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google the movie The Last Metro by Truffaut. And it's brilliant. And she is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And a wonderful actress. She's been on this show, you know.
Yes, I remember. Trying to think who else would be good. Who else would you go for? How about Beyonce? That's not bad. She's beloved everywhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd like to trade any place like Gaga to just sing like that.
Yeah.
But you'd have to give me the talent.
And you'd have to walk out and entertain a stadium. Would you enjoy that? No.
Yeah. My favorite part of entertaining as a comedian was when I was in a club with like five people in the audience.
Thank you for joining me, Joy. Tomorrow, I will be back with Alyssa Farah Griffin. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from me or a co-host, check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.